Head down, back bowed beneath the weight of the pack she carried, Christy trudged toward the lowering sun. She had begun to feel not hope, never again, but a kind of lessened futility. It wasn't her nature to analyze. Her conscious mind had been nothing but a bright blur for the past several hours, but she was far from stoop, and her subconscious kept working. The raiders were well organized, and even smart by Sekhmen standards, let alone Coldheart ones. The massacre hadn't been sadistic butchery. It hadn't even been casual. It had been businesslike. Whoever the murderers were, they were professional about it. Their behavior was at the other end of the world from the wild irrationality most Coldhearts displayed. The word for it was calculating. They had been happy enough to take what loot the caravan wags offered, but they dumped the contents of the two wags they needed to transport their own people in without hesitation, including food, water, and ammo. It wasn't so much that they spurned those items as that they didn't even trouble to look for them, even though all were present and all reasonably expected to be. The only cargo they kept was spare fuel stored in the vehicles, and that the wags themselves obviously required. Far from worrying about their own resupply, they had taken on 24 extra mouths. Christy knew why. Even without the sergeant having grumbled to his superior, the raiders needed slave workers. To do what, she wasn't sure, something about a track, and didn't particularly care. What was potentially useful to know was that the raiders hadn't been concerned, even though those same consumables were necessary to keep the captives alive, so they could do the work the raiders needed done. Gaia, even ammo, if some of the captives needed extra persuading. And it was through neither inexperience nor the shit-for-brain slavery to the impulse of the moment that controlled most Coldhearts, and Mutie Marauders too, for that matter. This bunch knew exactly what they were doing. If they didn't need to worry about food and water, they weren't far from replenishing the same. It followed as inevitably as night was about to follow the desert day. Granted, a wag could cover ground a shitload faster than a woman afoot, even when as strong and driven as Christy Roth. But another thing her subconscious worked out and allowed to seep osmotically into the white void of her conscious mind was that a job that took a lot of hands generally took a fair stretch of time to do as well. Wherever the marauders delivered their captives, they probably wouldn't be moving on for a spell. The knowledge added energy to her step. It might take a few hours or many days, but she had at least some solid ground of reason on which to base a belief that she would find her friends and Ryan's killers. A scrub jay yammered abuse at Christy from a bush. The sound brought the woman back to the here and now with a jolt of alarm. She'd been in zombie mode. She raised her head and took stock of her surroundings. The sun was falling toward a shoal of mesas with wind-scooped faces, tawny and rose-colored. There was no sign of the raiders, and the marks their tires had left in sand were lost to the eternally restless wind. But there was something, a squat blockiness ahead at the bottom of a broad valley. Buildings. Studying her surroundings, Christy could make out patches of dark pavement showing through drifted sand, the remnants of a flanking ditch. There had been a hardtop road here, maybe even a highway. She thought she may have seen shacks or something off in the distance, possible shelter for the night. She began walking toward the structures. JB was roused from sleep when the stakebed wag began to slow. Despite scowls from the guards, the other captives were scrambling to their feet to peer forward toward whatever awaited them. A brown hand, strong but altogether feminine, appeared before JB's eyes.
"Wake up, Rip Van Winkle."
The armorer grinned at Mildred as she helped him up.
"Who?"
"Don't worry about it."
JB couldn't see much over the cab, so he leaned his head over the wood side of the bed and peered forward. What seemed like a couple hundred people were laboring away in the middle of the desert. And parked next to them, gleaming like polished silver in the sun's slanting rays.
"Well, I'll be dipped in shit and fried for a hush puppy. It's a train."
"What?"
The screen door of the derelict diner banged open. Two men were suddenly among the cracked vinyl booths and the peeling formica tables, long blasters in their hands. Both aimed square at Christy Roth.
"Freeze, bitch!"
Blonde bangs hung in the younger, taller intruder's sunburned face from beneath a turned-around ball cap. His partner, who was darker and whose dark brown hair was beating a hasty retreat from his own forehead, just grinned nastily. After only the briefest hitch in her motions, Christy calmly went back to cooking corned beef hash over a fire built of brush and driftwood in what had once been the little kitchen's deep fat fryer. The pot was one she'd found hanging behind the counter. A handful of the fine sand that had drifted against the diner's east wall served to scrub out the accreted dust and gunk of the past century.
Hey, didn't I tell you to freeze, bitch?
Easy, Matt, easy. It's so much more fun when they're warm.
Fuck that, Ben.
I intend to.
Ben sidled around the periphery of booths, holding his remade M16 with one hand. In the light of the kerosene lantern she was working by, Christy could tell that both men wore retread U.S. Army blouses, both OD green, both with unfamiliar round patches on the breast. Just like the men who had killed Ryan and hijacked the caravan. The man came right up beside her. She smelled his stinking breath, felt it defile her cheek. His dirty nailed fingertip followed it, unwinding a scarlet lock down to the line of her set jaw.
Well, well, well. What do we have here?
She didn't shy away from the touch, just kept stirring and tossing.
Bitch slapped the slag, Ben. Show her who's boss.
Nah. Gently now. She's a cool one, aren't you, honey? I like that. I bet a girl like you could show us a good time. Big, nasty redhead like you.
He grabbed her, lowered his face to nuzzle her neck.
Yeah.
She fended him off with the back of his hands. He yanked his head back, anger flaring in his dark eyes.
You like that, don't you?
Now, don't be in too much of a hurry, boys. Why don't you just relax and make yourselves comfortable while I fix you a nice big dinner?
You know, hon, you're right. Been a long, hard day getting shut of that asshole general and his merry men. I'll feel a lot stronger once I get around a good old home-cooked meal.
He let her go and went back around the counter. Matt was almost vibrating with outraged horniness.
What? What are you doing? Why are we waiting?
Relax, kid.
Ben hoisted a cheek onto one of the round pedestal stools at the counter. There had been three. One was missing entirely. The other had been uprooted and lay against the foot of the counter.
And quit waving that damn blaster around. You make me nervous. Our little red-headed bedwarmer is a smart one. You can tell just by looking at her. She knows better than to try to run on us. Don't you?
He propped his own blaster next to his stool. Christy gave him a zipper-busting smile.
Now why would I want to run anywhere, sugar?
But...
Sit your ass down, bitch!
I'll give you, bitch.
Matt reluctantly complied. He sat at a table in the middle of the little room. He didn't put his long blaster down, although he did aim it at the ceiling.
What are we waiting for?
Didn't you ever hear the story of the old bull and the young bull, boy?
No.
This old bull and his young bull came upon a fence. And on the other side of that fence, what should they see but a whole herd of fine young heifers swishing their tails over their nice, firm fannies.
This one's got a nice ass. I can tell.
She surely does. Now pay attention to my story. This young bull sees them heifers and he says, I got an idea. Let's jump the fence and fuck us one of them heifers. And this old bull just shakes his head and says, no, what we gonna do? We gonna walk down to that gate, walk through it nice and peaceful, and fuck all them heifers.
Go ahead. Get to the punchline.
That was the punchline, you triple stoop nukehead.
Weren't funny.
No, fuck it ain't. Did you at least get the point of the story?
There's a point.
Oh, the love of God.
Ben dropped an elbow to the bar and sank his face in his hand.
Well, now don't go being unreasonable, Ben. You said it was a joke. You told me so. And a joke got no point. It's supposed to be funny. Except that joke weren't funny. Look it, the bitch is all done cooking. Can we do her now? Can we? I wonder if she got red fur on her pussy. Do redheads have that? Red hair on their pussies?
We ain't ate yet, you damn fool.